Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because this is Grim's Hentai Corner. Yeah, I'll get it right. And we are playing Starless. So let's go ahead and get it started. Remember, this is just the non-hentai parts, as I have stopped coverage on the hentai parts. And nobody asked. Nobody commented over there on the acronym site. They didn't say, hey, yeah, we want more of the hentai parts. Well, you know, it is what it is. But I'm going to continue playing this because I'm playing it on a personal thing. I want to try to finish the game and get all the endings and see all the endings. So, let's go for it. How crazy can it get, right? Marie, you can have as much as you like. We can always bring more wine in if we run out. No thanks, I've had enough. I refuse her offer. I'd feel more comfortable if we don't bring any more of that crazy expensive wine out here. Well, if you say so. At any rate, we should eat this delicious food Mikiko made for us before it gets cold. Having finished up their work, the servants all proceeded to sit at the table in the corner of the room. There isn't as much food lining their table as there is ours, but the food itself is equally as extravagant. In celebration of our new resident, Sawatari. With that, we all raised our glasses, and that was the signal for the start of the dinner. I'm not used to using a knife and a fork, so my mannerisms are a bit awkward. The dishes are all new to me, and all so delicious. Eventually, I forget about manners altogether and just shovel the food in. The mistress notices me and smirks as she continues eating at her own pace. There's occasional chit-chat amongst everyone as they eat. Considering all the weird stuff that happened to me today, this sense of normalcy is actually kind of scary. But with my attention distracted by all the delicious food, I don't give it much thought. Phew, I'm stuffed! After nearly cleaning my plate, I set the fork and knife back down on the table. I haven't eaten this much in a long time. I think I may have eaten a little too much, actually. I must have been really hungry. In fact, I ate so much I can't even move. Things are starting to look up. If I get to eat a meal this fantastic every day, maybe living here won't be so bad. I can at least agree with Sachi about the food. Once everyone else sees that I'm done, they stop eating as well. Most of them still have plenty of food left on their plates, and some had barely even touched theirs. What a waste of such delicious food. You'd think they'd feel a little guilty about it since Mikiko went to so much trouble to make it. The mistress shows no hesitation, though, as she orders Mikiko to clean up the rest of the plates. Although, while it seemed like a really fancy meal to me, perhaps they just didn't think anything of it since it's what they eat every day. I would offer to eat the leftovers, but I don't think I can fit another bite to my stomach. I sit in lazy satisfaction as I watch Mikiko work. After a little while, the mistress wipes her mouth with a napkin and speaks. Did you enjoy your meal? Yes, I did. It was absolutely delicious, thank you. I rub my full belly in a gesture showing my satisfaction. That's good to hear. We made sure to use a lot of our secret ingredient. Secret ingredient? Now that that's over with, it's time for the main course. Huh? Isn't dinner all over already? I asked, directing a look over to Mikiko, who's already cleaning up the table. Oh no, that was just the hors d'oeuvres. I'm sorry, but I'm already full. I don't think I can eat anymore. That's okay. That's okay. Ah, there we are. That's okay. You don't have to eat. In fact, you're on the menu. Huh? What does that mean? Her words leave me perplexed. I mean, I'm gonna help myself to your virginity. What else? Virginity? My jaw drops at the unbelievable remark that just came out of her mouth. I'm an idiot for thinking even for a second that this was gonna end without incident. Now, no need to be so surprised. Besides, I think you'll find yourself more than willing and capable to answer my expectations.
Sawatari-san no tameni yoishita tokubetsu ryori o anna ni takusan tabete kureta n desu mono.
After all, you did just have a nice large helping of the special meal we cooked for you. Don't tell me the secret ingredient was... Oh, I'll tell you. It just so happens that I ordered Mikako to spike your food with plenty of aphrodisiac. She explains nonchalantly. This can't be happening. It's like the job interview all over again. Is that the reason why no one else was touching their food? And yet I was shoveling it into my mouth in blissful ignorance, even asking for seconds. But it's too late for regrets now. I can already feel the medicine starting to work its magic. My penis is forming a tent in my pants and I didn't even notice. He says, looks like your scrumptious cock is ripe for the picking. I'm ready too, my pussy's already sopping wet. Jeez, mother, you're so nasty. Marika blushes at the mistress's words. Ella, like you're one to talk, you're soaked too, I can smell you from here. Hey, don't say that in front of Sawatari. I was looking forward to this, so I went without masturbating last night. I can't help if I'm a little horny. Marika and Marisa had eaten the food along with me and are obviously affected by the drug as well, albeit not nearly to the same extent. Their servants are no exception either. Sachi and Mikako both squirmed in their seats with flushed cheeks. Now that you're all ready, let's treat ourselves to the highlight of the evening. She stands from her chair with her chair with a look of delight, and the other members of the family follow suit and rise to their feet as well. And then the ladies of the family just slowly start to... And then the ladies of the family slowly start to close in on me all at once. The first serving of fresh... The first serving of freshly squeezed virgin coming right up. I can't wait to see how good it tastes. Of course, this time I'll be using my other mouth. Sensing I'm in danger, I stand from my seat and attempt to get away. But the second I do, my legs give out on me and I fall right back into the seat. I'll be back later with more Starless. What's going on? Oh, well, I guess we're not there yet, but you guys will know when we fade. The three of them grin as they watch me fumble about. Oh, there's something I forgot to mention. I put some drugs in your wine, too. What? It's immediately clear to me the kind of drug it is. Apparently, eating too much isn't the only reason I found it hard to move. I had three glasses of this stuff and I was paying for it. All four of my limbs are powerless. I can't even move from my chair. My fifth limb, however, is as viral as ever. It's like all of my body's energy is being directed to that one point. Don't worry, we used a low dose, so the effect shouldn't last too long. Come everyone, let's start the feast. And with that, I'm probably out. If we fade, that'll be the point. No? Well, she strips right in front of me. Following her lead, everyone else in the room starts taking off their clothes as well. I watch helplessly as everyone surrounds me in nothing but their underwear. Sachi and Mikako have their aprons on over their underwear, but that in itself is even more erotic in a way. The women aren't the only ones present, of course. Makoto and Kyoichi are both in their underwear as well. Due to the effects of the drug, they're pitching tents in their briefs just like me. Makoto's in particular is swollen up to an impressive size. Okay, since he's going to be the main course of the menu, I think this is actually where we're going to end. It says, Mikako, Sachi, set Sawatari on the table, please. As you wish, madam. But that one's That one's YouTube friendly, it's not too bad. The two of them follow orders obediently, each taking a different side in order to lift me up. I do like the little aprons that they have on. Yeah. Try not to take this personally, Salvatore. I'm just doing my job. Sachi whispers in her ear, in my ear, as she goes. Sachi whispers in my ear as she goes to pick me up. One, two. I'm unable to offer any resistance as they lay me down on top of the table. I'm like a prisoner waiting for my execution on the chopping block. Get rid of his clothes too. They follow her instructions and undress me. Hey, wait a minute! Their experienced hands went to work, and I was stark naked in a flash. Ah! My erect penis is exposed for all to see. I'm so embarrassed I want to die. I can't even move my hands to cover myself because of the effects of the drug. Look at you, already hard as a rock. What a horn dog. There's always this air of wistfulness around a cock that's about to lose its virginity. I love it. His pure cock is about to be defiled and robbed of its virginity. It's kind of a shame, really. I wish that I could be the one to take it. Sorry, but I'm the one that gets to do that. It's my privilege as the mother of the family. She climbs up onto the table and straddles me. Over. Now that I finally have time to myself, I let myself sink to the floor. Soon after, I can feel everything going dark. When I regain consciousness, I find myself soaking in a large bathtub. The bathing room is extremely spacious and made of marble. It's like one of those fancy hotel bathrooms. And sitting in the middle of that huge room is fine by me. And sitting in the middle of that huge room is me, soaking in the bathtub all by myself. What am I doing here? When did I get to the bathroom? I remember heading there after Sachi telling me it was okay, but everything after that is a fog. Actually, everything in general is kind of foggy. It's been like that since dinner. That's understandable, I guess. I've been through way too much crap in such a short time. Just when I thought I found my dream job, it turns out to be a nightmare. I was shaved, humiliated, well, yeah, he was shaved. They did shave him. But I was shamed, humiliated, had my virginity stolen from me, and all while having sex with three women in a row. Well, okay, to be honest, I'm not even technically sure if one of them can be called a woman. Oof. Demonetized. But still, they're all gorgeous. I guess it sounds like paradise if you say it like that, but in reality, it's torture, pure torture. I think I ejaculated an entire life's worth of semen in one day. One wrong step and I could have found myself impotent on the same day that I lost my virginity. This place is a goddamn succubus den. I managed to make it through the day alive, at least. But now that I'm working here, I'll be going through stuff like this every day. I'm really apprehensive, though. I wonder if I have what it takes to work here. Just thinking about the same things that happened today happening again every single day afterwards is enough to make me want to run away with my tail between my legs. I sink down into the water up to my shoulders and decide to just quit thinking about things. I'm so tired I can't even bother to move my arms. Soaking in the bath like this really is soothing and helps me forget my troubles. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they put some kind of drugs in the water too. But I don't care. I just want to forget everything and soak my bones. I take a deep breath and I close my eyes. And so begins my life as a slave for 2 weeks in this evil mansion. All right, the game has begun. Ring? Hmm? Ring? I'm rudely awakened by the sound of an incessant bell. Oh, be quiet. Ring? Ah! Ring, click! I fumble my hand blindly, looking for the source of the noise for a while before finding the switch and shutting it up. I think about going back to sleep, but quickly decide against it and open my eyes. I'm greeted by a different ceiling than usual. Wait, where am I? Clearly this is not my apartment. Come to think of it, the alarm was different too. It's usually not that annoying. Not to mention, this doesn't feel like the same old cheap bed with worn out springs that I usually sleep in. I stare blankly at the ceiling for a moment. Eventually my brain catches up and pieces things together. Oh, that's right, this is my new room. I'll be living here for 2 weeks. Once I remember that I'm gonna work here as a servant, it all starts to make sense. I look over at the alarm clock and see that it's 6 in the morning. Normally I'd still be sleeping like a stone at 6. I guess my head is foggy because I'm not used to waking up this early. I remember what Sachi said about a servant's workday starting at 6 and forced myself out of bed. Ow! A sharp pain shoots through my waist as soon as I sit up. Actually, my waist is just the worst of it. My entire body is aching. The pain reminds me of what my body went through yesterday. I suppose muscle pain is inevitable after everything I put it through. I look down and check the part of my body that took the brunt of it. Since I slept in nothing but my underwear, it's easy to see. Huh? I pull my underwear down and apprehensively take a look inside, only to see my penis standing hard at attention in spite of everything I went through yesterday. What the? My penis somehow still manages to get morning wood. It's like yesterday never even happened. My sexual desire is too strong for my own good. But, well, it's a lot better than being impotent, I guess. I'm still as sensitive as ever. I even feel like I could masturbate right here on the spot. Is it possible the effects of yesterday's drugs haven't worn off yet? Just then, the door suddenly opens and in walks Sachi. Good morning, Sawatari. Why are you having a staring contest with your penis? I quickly pull my underwear back up and get up from the bed. And now both you and your penis are up. Sachi giggles, seeing right through my situation. She looks the same as always, like the events of last night didn't even matter to her. I realize I'm dressed only in my underwear and quickly rummage around for something to wear. I spot my servant uniform on the chair and quickly go to put it on. Sachi doesn't seem bothered in the least and cuts right to the chase. As I'm sure you know, you'll be a formal employee starting today. Yes. I listen as I put on my clothes. Of course, that means we're going to start giving you some work. Alright, so what should I do? For starters, how about we have you start the fire in the boiler every day first thing in the morning? The boiler? That's right. As you can see, this place is so far deep in the mountains that they don't get electricity. All the power comes from the generator in the basement. The boiler creates the steam for the generator and provides heating for the residents as well as all sorts of other things. You could say it's like the core of the residence. Can't start the day without starting the boiler, so it's an important job. How about it? Yes, alright. I've never even touched a boiler in my life. Is it really such a good idea to leave it to me? You have to be responsible with this. Make sure you don't oversleep. Alright. That's all you'll be doing for now.
まずはここでの生活に慣れることが先だから様子を見ながら
There's a bunch of other stuff I'd like you to do, but getting used to this place takes priority. I'll give you more work when I think you're ready. Thank you. I'll give it a shot. Try not to let me down now. What kind of work are you and the others in charge of? Are you asking about the work around the house, or... Yeah, the work around the house. I have a pretty good idea what she was going to say next. I guess you could say I'm just a housemaid that handles basic chores. In all honesty, I don't really have any special talents, so they just put me in charge of odd jobs. Basically, I clean, do the laundry, welcome guests, tend to the family's needs, stuff like that. I end up doing quite a bit of stuff. Your work will probably be the same as me, except with more of a focus on tending to the family's needs. Well, all the male employees in general are here solely to please the family, pretty much, so yeah, that's where your priorities are going to be. I see. So basically, I get to handle the most annoying part. Mikako's a bit special in that she's in charge of the kitchen. When she's not cooking, she takes on the same kind of work as us, though. But she's irreplaceable, since there's no one else here that can cook like she does. That makes her one of the most esteemed servants. For someone who's esteemed, it still seems like they treat her like crap. But like I said, though we all have different roles, we're all here for the same reason. Try not to worry about who's superior to who. Just treat everyone as equals, the servants anyway. You'll of course need to treat the family with the proper respect. I understand. I say, straightening my necktie, now fully dressed. Alright, enough chit-chat. We need to get to work. You're done getting dressed? Yes. After giving my uniform a look over, Sachi corrects my crooked tie. There we go. Let's go. I'll show you to the boiler room. I follow her outside. Ow! I wince at the muscle pain coursing all throughout my body as I follow Sachi down the hall. Still feeling the effects of last night, I see. It's no wonder having to deal with all three of them like that. I'm impressed you can even walk at all. What about you? Are you alright? I'm used to it. Besides, I didn't have it as bad as you. I'm sure you're capable of getting used to it too. If you weren't, you wouldn't have even lasted through yesterday. I hope you're right. Yesterday gave me a pretty good idea about this place and the people who live here. Sachi in particular seems to be ahead of the game when it comes to social tact. She's one of the most adapted to the situation here. I wasn't born with the same gift, unfortunately. I don't think I'll ever be able to take things in stride as well as she does. We descend the stairs down to the entrance hall where we happen upon Mikako and Makoto. Good morning, Sawatari. She says with a pleasant smile, bowing her head. Good morning. I respond in haste. The two of them also act as if nothing happened, greeting me with the same smile as usual. Is she not the least bit embarrassed after what she did last night? I don't know, maybe I'm the weird one here. Did you sleep well? Yeah, you could say that. It's a pleasure to be working with you. Thanks, me too. Well then, if you'll excuse us, we have to get breakfast ready. They bow once again and then leave the lobby. Man, Mikiko was just as relaxed as you. You guys must have nerves of steel or something. That's basically an everyday occurrence in this place. If you let something like that get to you, you won't last in this place. She responds to my surprise lightheartedly. I don't even think people who work in the porn business have experiences like that every day. Come on, we need to get going too. She urges me on and we head for the first floor hallway. After some walking, eventually we come to a stop in front of a door at the end of the hall. We're walking. The boiler is through here, down the stairs to the basement. I'm sorry, I have some other things I need to take care of, so can you take care of the rest by yourself? Sachi says, glancing at the time on her bracelet. The instructions are written on the side of the boiler, so just follow them. It's simple, so you should be fine. Think you're up to it? I think I can get by, yes. I can't exactly refuse here, so I just accept. Alright, thanks. Once you're done, just wait in the lobby. I should be finished by then, too. Got it. With that, she starts walking back down the hall with quick steps. I open the door and continue down the dark stairs to the basement all by myself. Once I get to the bottom of the stairs, I find myself in a dark basement. It's wider than I thought it would be. The only source of light in this dark area is a little lamp that blinks on and off intermittently. In front of me is a path leading to the boiler. This looks to be it. The boiler is as large as you'd expect from something said to be the core of the residence. There are a series of pipes of various sizes coming out of it and running along the nearby concrete wall. On the front is a panel with a bunch of switches and gauges on it. I approach the boiler and have a look at the plate on the operation panel. Instructions on how to operate the boiler are written on it in small letters. Don't you need to be, like, qualified to operate a boiler? Should an amateur like me really be touching this thing? Oh well, it's my job after all. Might as well do what I can. Let's see here. I study the instructions. First, turn on the power. I flip the switch indicated in the instructions, turning the red pilot lamp on. Open valve 1. Make sure that the light for the water system is lit. Afterwards, wait for the needle on the water gauge to reach the green position. I turn the blue valve as shown in the diagram to the left. As I do so, I can hear water running through one of the many pipes coming out of the boiler. The needle on the water gauge starts to move slowly towards the green area. Once it stabilizes on the green, it makes a clicking sound and the water stops. Next, open valve 2. Flip the ignition switch on the boiler into the on position, then wait for the temperature gauge to reach the green position. After flipping the switch, I hear the boiler come on with the sound of igniting fire. After some time, the temperature gauge rises. Once the gauge reaches the green position, the pressure gauge starts rising as well. Finally, check to see that the pressure gauge is stabilized in the green position. Once you have reached this step, the rest of the management will be handled by the CPU. After a few minutes, all the gauges reach the stable green area and seem to be operating without issue. Looks like my job here is done. Well, that was easier than I thought. I breathe a sigh in relief that everything went off without a hitch. Before going back upstairs, I figure I may as well take the opportunity to check out the basement. This basement is huge. There are a bunch of other doors too, and it's clearly too wide just to be used as a boiler room. It almost looks like some kind of underground dungeon or something. Maybe they use it for storage. I turn around to head upstairs, but I hear a sound coming from deeper inside the basement that stops me in my tracks. What was that? My first thought is maybe it's coming from the boiler, but no, it's coming from somewhere deeper inside. Not to mention, it's clearly not the kind of sound a machine would make. It almost sounds like a person moaning, and it goes off the walls, making it sound even creepier. My eyes move towards the iron door, blocking the way deeper into the basement. I head to the door to check out what the noise is. No good. I turn the knob, but to no avail. It's locked. My investigation is a dead end, and I have no choice but to give up. The noise gets quieter and quieter until it's eventually no longer audible over the sound of the boiler. Oh well. I check once more to make sure the boiler is working correctly, and then decide to make my way out of the basement. I don't want to stay in this creepy place a second longer than necessary. I turn my back on the door and climb the stairs. I make my way back to the entrance hall where I wait for Sachi's return. I look at the grandfather clock to check the time and see that it's already 7. It's not long before I hear Sachi coming down the stairs. Oh, hey, I'm back. Sorry about that. Did you get the boiler running all right? Yeah, I managed. Good, then for your next job, head over to Lady Maris's room. Lady Maris's room? Yeah, I went to go wake her up, but she told me to go get Sawatari instead. I see. I wonder what she wants. Well, whatever it is, I know it won't be pleasant. It looks like she's taken a shine to you. Or, taken quite a shine to you. Just try not to get her to like you too much. The more she likes you, the more crap she's gonna put you through. And that laugh was not actually part of it. Yeah, I think I learned that yesterday the hard way. You know where her room is? Yeah, you told me yesterday. Alright then, she's cranky in the morning, so you better hurry. You don't want to keep her waiting and make it worse. Alright. Suddenly, the alarm on my bracelet starts beeping. And there it is. Once I press the button, Sachi points out to me, I hear her voice coming from the bracelet. What's taking so long? Get your butt over here. I'm on my way. I rush up the stairs, leaving Sachi behind. I walk briskly through the hall and come to the door that I heard is Maris's room. This is the right room, I hope. I take a deep breath and knock on the door. Knock, knock. It's open. Come on in. Excuse me. I open the door and apprehensively step inside. That music doesn't sound good, folks. The room inside seems extremely typical of a rich little princess decorated with extravagant furniture and accessories. My room is practically a dump in comparison. As I take a step forward, the peculiar scent of the womanly room enters my nostrils. I'm actually a little nervous since this is the first time I've been in a girl's room before. You're late! What took you so long? Those are the first words out of Maris's mouth as she stands cross-armed in the middle of the room, glaring at me. Late? And that little bit of time? How impatient is this girl? She's still dressed in nothing but her underwear. I mean, we've already had sex, so I guess it isn't that much of a big deal, but still, I'm a little uncomfortable having to look at a girl without her clothes on. Could you put some clothes on, please? Hey, it's my room. I can wear whatever I want. I'll have you know that this is what I always sleep in. It may be okay for you, but what about me? I don't even know where to look. I don't know why you're complaining when it's your job to do something about it. What? You are to dress me. Why do you think I called you here in the first place? Well, how am I supposed to know? That's the first time she said anything of the sort. I've never dressed myself a single time since I was born, you know. She says, beaming with pride. She's not a kid anymore. The least she can do is dress herself. Until today, I just randomly decided who to dress me depending on the mood I was in. But now I'm gonna officially put you in charge of it every morning. You get to have the honor of dressing me every morning. You can even brag about it to your friends if you like. Okay. Excuse me? You don't seem very thrilled. You got a problem with it? No, ma'am, not at all. Good. Now make sure to express your gratitude in words. Yes. I think of some words that I think will please her. It is such an honor to receive this coveted position that I'm afraid any words I could say would be inadequate to describe it. Marisa nods, satisfied. Alright, you may start now. She presents herself to me, exposing her fully developed body to my eyes. I'm not sure where to start. I'm taken aback by this sudden demand. I've never helped someone get dressed before, especially not a woman. What are you just standing around for? Didn't I tell you how much I hate people that are worthless and stupid? Now get to work! Ack! She kicks me out of irritation, sending me kneeling to the floor. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Could you feed Cerberus for me too? Huh? Cerberus, that vicious dog? I'd rather not get anywhere near it, to be honest. Wouldn't it just attack me again? It'll be fine. It's chained up. Oh, I know. I'll put you in charge of feeding him from now on. It's your pet. At least feed him yourself. Jeez. Why is she so intent on keeping that vicious beast anyway if she doesn't even care about raising it herself? Just ask Mikako and she'll get you the food you need. Okay. I accept with reluctance. Even if I refuse, she would just make me do it anyway. I leave Marius's room with heavy steps. I stop by my room for a fresh change of underwear before heading off to feed the dog. I thought I was just gonna dress her. What on earth have I gotten myself into? My day has only just begun and I'm already exhausted. I'm not gonna have to do stuff like this all day long, am I? Oh well, at least feeding a dog should be simple enough. Might as well get it over with. Alright, first I need to go get the food from Mikako. I'll go to the dining room. She should be there. When I arrive, Mikako had just left the kitchen and is preparing for breakfast. What do you need? Once she notices me, she stops what she's doing and walks over. Lady Marisa told me to feed the dogs, so... Mikako knows immediately what's going on. Oh yes, I have it ready for you. Wait just one moment, please. Makoto goes back into the kitchen and comes out with the dog food. Here you go. She hands me a plate and I take it. There's a thick cooked steak on it. This is dog food? It looks like pretty expensive meat to me. There's something that pisses me off about the idea of a dog eating better than I do. Well, before coming to this place, anyway. Cerberus can be quite mean. Please be careful. Yes, I figured that out for myself yesterday. He tends to be friendly among females, but can't stand other males for whatever reason. Maybe because he's a male dog. A number of our male employees have been attacked and hospitalized by him in the past. One of them even had his thing bitten off. Well, that doesn't help to assuage my fears. If that's the case, why go out of your way to ask a man to feed him anyway? I'm sure it'll be fine. I had a few dogs of my own, so I'm used to them. Besides, I'm sure he won't be so mean after he gets a load of the food I've got for him. I'm actually not sure about that at all, but I have to believe it or else I won't have the guts to go through with it. I hope you're right, but do be careful. He's indiscriminate when it comes to men. Thanks, I will. And when you're done, come back to the dining room. Breakfast is almost ready. No problem. I give my thanks and leave the dining room. Alright, I'm not too excited about this, but I better get it over with. I get up the nerve and go outside through the front door. The sun is already up, painting a lovely blue across the sky. I take in the fresh mountain air as I walk alone down the garden path. Yeah. Why do I have to be the one to give that stupid dog his food? I mumble complaints to myself as I wander around the garden looking for the dog. From what I can see, he doesn't seem to be in the garden. There doesn't seem to be a place to tie him up with a chain around here, at least. I think he ran over that way yesterday. I decide to head in the direction he went after Marius had told him to go back home yesterday. Eventually, I come to the corner of the garden, to which I found... Whoa! I hear an angry bark and the dog suddenly jumped out right in front of me. The dog immediately makes a lunge for my leg. I step back and avoid being bitten by a hare. That scared the crap out of me. Luckily, the chain prevents him from getting any closer. If I was a second later noticing him, I would have had a chunk of my leg taken out. Having failed in its attempt to gnash me, it glares at me with a threateningly low growl. Good boy, look, I've got some delicious food for you. I put on a friendly smile as I can manage and try to win him over with a plate of food. I don't really accomplish much. He continues to glower at me, waiting for a chance to pounce. God, I hate this dog. I'd love to give him a nice big kick across the garden, but I know I'd just be the one paying for it later. I go ahead and just lay the plate in front of him. No point in having a staring contest with him. Here you go. Eat up. He looks suspiciously at the plate and sniffs it. Apparently he doesn't trust me at all. It takes a while, but eventually he's convinced it's safe and bites into it. He's as nasty as his owner. He cleans the plate in no time. He must have been pretty hungry. After he's done, he goes back to glaring at me like I killed his father. He doesn't show a single bit of gratitude, even after I brought him food. Would it kill him to be a little nicer after getting fed? And I get to do this every day, too. That's just great. I sigh and head back. Fucking ungrateful dog. Alright, off to the dining room. I remember what Mikiko told me and head back to the dining room. The minute I step into the dining room, a delicious smell fills my nostrils. The table is lined with the gorgeous dishes Mikiko made. It's very stimulating to the appetite, and I suddenly find myself getting hungry. The family has yet to arrive. The only person I see is Makoto, going back and forth from the kitchen in order to get things set up. Just as I'm wondering whether I should pitch in and help, Kyoichi makes his appearance in the dining room. He's still in his pajamas, like he came here straight from bed. Good morning. I clear the way for him and bow in greeting as he passes by. He takes a single glance at me before heading to his seat without a word, ignoring me as if to say my very existence is an eyesore. He catches me a bit off guard with his attitude, but I quickly recover and take a sit in the same place I take a sit. I take a seat in the same place as yesterday. Just then, the door opens, and in comes the mistress. Oh, wow. Good morning, everyone. Like Kiyoshi, she's also dressed like she just woke up. She has on a thick negligee that exposes much of her luscious body. Apparently, this family isn't familiar with the concept of changing clothes in the morning. My family is the same way, so it's not weird for me or anything, but for a family that's rich and fancy enough to employ servants, you'd think they'd be more neat and proper about that kind of thing. Well, as a guy, I guess I can't really complain. It's easy on the eyes, that's for sure. I pull my eyes off our lewd figure and stand up to greet her. Good morning, mistress. Oh, if it isn't Sawatari. It's good to have you on board now. Yes, thank you very much. Seeing my nervousness, she reassures me with a smile before heading to the table with graceful steps. Once the two of them are at the table, breakfast starts without a word of indication. Apparently, Sachi was right about the other two not eating here. What's wrong, Sawatari? Go ahead and eat up. No need to be shy. Don't think of holding back just because you're a servant. We like to think of servants as a member of the family here. We even have a custom of eating at the same table. Alright, don't mind if I do. I take her urgings to heart and go at the food laid out in front of me, fumbling with a knife and fork as I carry it to my mouth. They're simple dishes compared to the extravagant dinner of last night, but the taste of Minkiko's cooking is as spectacular as ever. Breakfast continues on in silence. Compared to yesterday, it's almost kind of eerie. Kiyoshi is the first to set his knife and fork down. I look over to see that his plate is still over half full. I've had enough. Makoto, clear the table. Yes, sir. Makoto quickly makes his way over to Kiyoshi and starts clearing the dishes as Kiyoshi looks on in arrogance. Oh, and the usual, please. Right away. Makoto clears the table swiftly and leaves for the kitchen with the dishes. Once he leaves the room, Mikiko comes out to replace him. Was the food to your liking? I look at her and she makes eye contact, prompting her to ask with a question. Ask with a smile, not a question. Yes, it was very good. What about you guys? Are you not going to eat? Makoto and I need to finish up in the kitchen first. But Sachi should be here soon after she's done with her work. Don't worry. I see. She then goes over to greet the mistress before stopping in front of Kiyoshi. Do you need something, Master Kiyoshi? Yeah, I'm thirsty. Give me some milk. Mikiko frowns momentarily, but soon returns to her normal expression. Yes, right away. She sits down in the seat next to Kiyoshi. I watch on with curiosity as I eat. Come to think of it, something doesn't add up. There's milk already placed in the cup in front of him. If he's thirsty, he can just drink that. And yet, that cup remained untouched the entire time. Oh, Lord, here it comes. Come over here. Kiyoshi leans over and lies down over her lap. The room without paying anyone else the least bit of heed. Mikiko stands from her chair and bows while covered in semen before making her own exit. I'm relieved now that the awkwardness is finally over. After a small wait, my boner goes away. I have no reason to stay here any longer. I finish pretending to eat and join them in leaving the room as well. But before I can get up from my chair, I'm preceded by someone else. That was quite a feast. She sits, laying her fork and knife down on the table and wiping her mouth with a napkin. Maybe it's time to get some fresh milk of my own. Watching Kiyoshi has got me thirsty all of a sudden. She directs her attention to me and Makoto and beckons us over. Ooh, things automatically have changed again. That is a really nice CG, though.